The state system of higher education tells lawmakers this could go two ways, a tuition hike or an increase in state funding. And one of the most well-known Pennsylvanians involved in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol is slated to be sentenced today. Welcome to The Morning Agenda, WMITF's daily news podcast, where the only agenda is you. I'm Tim Lambert, your host on this daily trip around the region's top stories. Before we get started, a thanks to our sponsor, CGA Law Firm. You can find them at cgalaw.com. The firm is located in York, Hanover, and East Berlin, and it provides legal services to businesses, individuals, and municipalities in South Central Pennsylvania. Good morning. Hope your day is going well. It's Thursday, March 23rd, and this is being recorded at 9:21. Let's get started, shall we? Well, just a day after state-related universities like Penn State and Pitt made their case for a funding hike, the head of the state system of higher education warned tuition could be increased for the first time in 5 years if lawmakers don't approve a nearly 4% increase in state dollars next year. My colleague Sam Dunklaw breaks it down for you.
That would mean another $20 million for the 10 schools, plus $112 million more dollars for student scholarships, if Chancellor Dan Greenstein has his way. Greenstein was typically frank when he spoke to House lawmakers.
We've been through a dozen years of recession management, COVID, and a few of our universities are going through integration, which I can tell you for a fact is not easy. They're tired. They need help.
The state system got a $75 million funding boost last year, which Greenstein says went a long way to keeping it afloat. The chancellor added its recent consolidation of six of its schools into two is, among other things, helping it to keep tuition at around $7,700 a year for in-state students.
Now, state lawmakers appear likely to approve higher funding, but there's disagreement over the numbers. There are four state system schools in the mid-state: Bloomsburg, Shippensburg, Millersville, and Kutztown. Anti-gun violence advocates plan to rally for tighter gun laws in Pennsylvania, where a politically divided government has fought firearms policy to a virtual standstill for decades. Today's March for Our Lives rally marks its fifth anniversary since its inception after a 2018 mass shooting at a Florida high school. Hundreds are expected in Harrisburg, which coincides with rallies this week in Florida, Michigan, California, and Texas. Now, the state legislature hasn't seriously entertained any new gun restrictions for years, but this year, a one-seat Democratic majority has taken over the House and will kick off this session's debate over gun violence with a committee hearing today. Defense lawyers say a former truck driver about to face trial for shooting to death congregants in a Pittsburgh synagogue more than 4 years ago has schizophrenia and structural and functional brain impairments. Lawyers for Robert Bowers have told a federal judge in a court filing they're concerned about a prosecution proposal to have their own psychiatric experts examine or evaluate him. Jury selection is scheduled to begin next month in Bowers' trial for shooting to death 11 people and wounding seven others at the Tree of Life Synagogue in the nation's most deadly attack on Jewish people. Bowers has offered to plead guilty in return for a life sentence, but prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. A report from the office of Democratic State Senator Art Haywood shows black Pennsylvanians have improved socioeconomically in the last decade. My colleague Gabriela Martinez reports the senator's team is now doing a statewide tour to gather feedback from different black and Latino communities.
Over 30 people, mostly community members and elected leaders of color, gathered at Zion Baptist Church in Reading to propose ideas on how to use the report to move forward. Some said that we'd like to see more public school teachers of color and more localized data about black and Latino communities across the state. Representative Johanny Cepeda Freitas of Berks County said the work at a local level is just getting started.
At the local level, the vibe, the feel, people don't connect to the data. So now I think it's time to start those work groups, right? We have data. Okay, well, how do then we gather our own, one, and two, how do we start working with some of our immediate needs and identifying tangible solutions?
Cepeda Freitas says her constituents often complain about low food quality in schools with a majority of students of color. She notes this is an area she might be able to tackle in collaboration with other Berks County state lawmakers. And a bit of a bummer to close this part of the morning agenda. Notre Dame is finalizing a deal to make Penn State's Micah Shrewsbury its new men's basketball coach. Shrewsbury, in his second season at Penn State, led the Nittany Lions to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2011 and a tournament victory for the first time since 2001. He grew up in Indianapolis, and his first head coaching job was at an NAIA school in South Bend, Indiana, where Notre Dame is located. So I combed through about a dozen news sites in central Pennsylvania this morning and came across a few stories I want to put on your radar. Here's what you need to know. Two more eastern Berks County communities will be served by Tower Health's nonprofit ambulance company. The Reading Eagle reports Amity and Union Townships have awarded three-year contracts to Tower to provide emergency 911 response services. Those townships were most recently served by Western Berks Ambulance. The move comes in the wake of the Westlawn-based service issuing a notice to discontinue service in Amity, Union, and Birdsboro, saying it was losing money under the agreements made just 2 years earlier. So in stepped Tower Direct, which entered into similar contracts with Birdsboro and Phoenixville, Chester County, earlier this year. Now, you may remember a story we mentioned earlier this month about how the city of York was considering lifting a hiring cap that limits the number of police officers to 100. Well, the York Dispatch notes City Council has lifted the policy that dates all the way back to the 1960s. The police commissioner pushed for the change, calling the cap an impediment to addressing rising gun violence in the city. York saw a record 22 homicides last year, with a per capita homicide rate that was higher than Chicago, New York, and Philadelphia. The department currently has 111 officers, which includes 11 grant-funded positions to patrol a city of 45,000 people. Those other 11 jobs can be kept on permanently now. So for some context when it comes to staffing levels, in neighboring Lancaster, the city has 147 officers for its 57,000 people, and Harrisburg has 128 for 50,000 people. Police were called to a Lancaster County school for a report of a gun in the building. LNP reports officers yesterday found an unloaded handgun and a small amount of marijuana at E.R. Martin School in the school district of Lancaster. Manheim Township police officers say there was never a threat. The student, whose age and grade were not released, did not have magazines or ammunition on him. A handgun was reported stolen in 2022. The news organization notes the Lancaster County Juvenile Probation Department prepared a detainer for the student, who is at Lancaster County Youth Intervention Center, on several charges. So we're going to slow things down just a little bit with a bit of a deeper dive right now. At least 79 Pennsylvanians have been charged for their involvement in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol to try to keep former President Donald Trump in power, even though he lost the 2020 election. That number is tied with Texas for second most in the country, behind only Florida. One of the most well-known from the Keystone State is slated to be sentenced later today, Riley June Williams of Harrisburg. Joining me now is WITF's Robbie Broad, who has been following the case the last several months. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, Tim.
So who is Riley Williams?
Riley Williams, who lived in Harrisburg but went to high school in Mechanicsburg, was filmed inside the Capitol during the January 6th riots, and she was most notably accused of stealing a laptop and a gavel belonging to former Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But federal prosecutors dropped that case because Williams already faces a hefty sentence from multiple convictions.
So, Robbie, what was her reason for going to the Capitol that day?
Yeah, well, Williams identifies as part of the America First movement, led by self-described Christian conservative Nick Fuentes, and he's known for masking his white supremacist beliefs in sarcasm and irony. And Williams attended his Stop the Steal rally in Harrisburg a few weeks prior, and she previously posted content online associated with what's called accelerationism, which advocates for violence and political chaos as a way to expedite the collapse of the government. And she can be seen on video directing rioters up a staircase that led to Pelosi's office. And while inside, she can be heard telling someone to wear gloves before taking the laptop. And she later posted on social media, Tim, quote, "I stormed into the Capitol building and stole Nancy Pelosi's hard drive and gavel." And she can be seen shoving police on her way out. Her ex-romantic partner tipped off the FBI after seeing videos of Williams in the Capitol, and the jury was actually unable to determine whether she was responsible for the laptop theft, and also couldn't decide if she was guilty of obstructing an official proceeding. And Tim, this is the first time a jury hadn't agreed to convict a January 6th defendant on all counts.
Can you recap for us what she was convicted of?
Yeah, a jury in November found her guilty of six federal crimes, which includes two felonies from when she joined others in pushing against the police officers trying to clear the rotunda. And she was also convicted on four misdemeanors because she illegally entered and held a political demonstration inside the Capitol.
At this point, how much prison time is she potentially looking at?
She currently faces as much as 16 years in federal prison, and prosecutors have asked the judge for at least 7 years.
Robbie, how has Riley Williams been defending herself against the charges, and what has her legal team said throughout these proceedings?
Yeah, she pleaded not guilty to all charges and claimed her ex lied about her involvement in the riots. And her legal team has downplayed her involvement with Fuentes and his political movement. And Tim, Pelosi's laptop and gavel have still not been recovered.
WITF's Robbie Broad, thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim.
Now, as this is being recorded, Williams is currently in the courtroom as the proceedings get underway. Robbie will have an update for you if you tune in to WITF 89.5 and 93.3. From 4 to 6 on All Things Considered. And of course, we'll update you tomorrow on the morning agenda on the sentencing she receives. That's going to do it for The Morning Agenda, a daily news podcast from WITF where the only agenda is you. What was the best song you heard on your drive to work today? You can reach out to me on Twitter at TLambert895. And since this week marked the 20th anniversary of the start of the war in Iraq, I heard Eddie Vedder's cover of the Bob Dylan classic anti-war song Masters of War this morning on the drive into work. So that is my pick. Give it a listen if you have some time. If you like what you hear, please subscribe in any of the places where you find your favorite podcast. Then rate The Morning Agenda and let us know what you think in a review. And feel free to recommend us to a friend as well. Once again, our sponsor is CGA Law Firm, which is located in York, Hanover, and East Berlin. The firm provides legal services to businesses, individuals, and municipalities in South Central Pennsylvania. You can find them at cgalaw.com. For our audio guide, Joel Ulrich, I'm Tim Lambert, your host. Be well, and we'll talk again tomorrow.